life and evaluate your life. But there's something that seems especially appropriate at the beginning of a new year to really evaluate your life. So let's talk about your life and your approach to life. So turn in your Bible to a portion of God's Word which deals with this subject of assessing your approach to life. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. When you find James chapter 4, you'll want to find verse 13. And we will consider from verse 13 through the end of the chapter to verse 17 this morning. James chapter 4. Beginning in verse 13, we'll consider through verse 17. Would you stand with me, please, and I'll read aloud, and we'll follow along. Before we read, though, I want you to ask, or I'm going to ask you this. Would you ask God to help you to take an honest assessment of your approach to life? Let's read the scriptures. Follow along as I read. Beginning in verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doth it not, to him it is sin. So let me ask you again before we pray today. Will you ask God to help you to take an honest assessment of your approach to life? Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Our Lord, we are grateful that you are a God who always tells us the truth. It's easy for us to deceive ourselves. It's easy not to handle the truth. But Lord, we ask you now to help us to be honest with ourselves and with your truth as we consider a new year. And we approach this opportunity of life. We pray that even today you would readjust some things, rearrange some things that need to be changed. There are people that may need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved once and for all. Do this, we pray, Lord Jesus. And we yield and ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. We need his power and control and his filling to be able to receive what you have for us. And so, God, we ask for your help, and we believe you for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, this passage of Scripture begins with describing a foolish approach to life in verse 13. A foolish approach to life. You'll see how James does it for us here by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Go to now. Ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. What was happening? James is addressing people who were making plans for their life, and they were believers who were setting the goals and approach to their life. In fact, when you notice it, you'll note that there are a number of areas of life that these believers were identifying. They were identifying, and I'll put it in a very personal way, my schedule. They're saying, oh, today and tomorrow. They're setting my plans. We'll go to such and such a city. Here are people who are setting my boundaries. I'll continue there a year. People who are setting my activities, I'll buy and sell, and they're setting my expectations and get gain. Now, all of these are good things. There are people who are planning ahead. There are people who are engaging in business. There are people who are being productive in life. These are people who are doing everyday normal things in life. And that's what was happening. But let me ask you, what was missing? You see, in life, if you're going to live wisely, you need not only to ask what's happening, but you need to ask what's missing. And in this book, or in this passage... what is missing? Where is the Lord Jesus Christ in any of their plans? Where is the will of God in any of their plans? Where's the consideration of God's plan for their life rather than their plan for their life? You see, for these believers, their self-imposed normal was abnormal. Do you see that? They had planned everything out, and this was the new normal, but their new normal was abnormal because the Lord Jesus Christ and God's will was not at the center of their plans. The challenge of people who schedule and plan, or the challenge of these people, were they scheduled and planned the Lord's priorities out of their lives. Now, you have to be careful about that. Scheduling and planning and setting up all. And what happens is if you're not careful, you'll take the things that are important to the Lord and you'll schedule that out. And the Lord's always the one that seems to come up short, when in reality, what we need to do is say, let's put the things that are important to the Lord first and I'll schedule and plan them into my life rather than out of my life. And for all the positives of their proactive approach to life, here are people that became fools. That's a foolish approach to life. Now, I ask you to ask the Lord to help you to assess your approach to life. And I want you to take a minute here. And I want you to stop and I want you to think and assess your life and your approach to life. And how the scriptures are approaching and dealing with you about your approach to life. So there's a foolish approach to life. And then James tells us something else. God tells us about a factual assessment of life in verse 14. In fact, he tells us about two facts of life that we need to be aware of when we live. The first fact of life is found in the first part of verse 14. For whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Here's the first fact of life. It is this, the uncertainty of life. Because you can be certain that life is uncertain. And none of us knows what tomorrow holds. And I love the beginning of a new year. It's great to have a new planner. It's great to have new pages of my life. I feel like I can start new things in the new year. I love the turn of the new year. But wait a minute, I want you to be aware that whatever you do and you think may happen in the coming year, you anticipate will happen in the coming year, there are things in this coming year that will happen that you will not in any way anticipate. Life is uncertain. The book of Proverbs puts it this way, Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And since we cannot be certain of tomorrow, we should do the will of God today. And so as we consider tomorrow, don't miss the will of God for today. So you can be sure of the fact of the uncertainty of life. And then in verse 14, James tells us about another fact of life. You'll notice verse 14, the latter part. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Beside the uncertainty of life, James reminds us of another fact of life, and that is the brevity of life. Well, I don't know if you realize this or not. It's been cold. Have you realized that? Man, it's been cold, unusually cold. And maybe you've done this when you've walked outside, you've walked out in the cold air, and you've exhaled, and as you exhaled, you've watched your breath in the air. But it doesn't last very long, does it? You've exhaled, and it just for a little bit, and then it's gone. And James says, you know, life's a lot like that. Life is short. Now, for you kids, life doesn't seem short. It seems long. It seems like forever. Oh, it's going to take forever for the next this, the next that, the next birthday. I mean, you are 7 3/4 years old. And you'll feel like that last quarter of the year, it's never going to make it. Oh, I'm never going to make it to 8 years old. It's so far away. But what you'll learn as you get older, and what everybody learns as they get older, is that life is short. And you wonder where it all went. You just wonder, What happened to those years? And what happened to those days? And so James tells us something here. He reminds us that life is short. And in the short days that we have, don't waste those short days that you have. Use those days doing the will of God for your life. Life is short. And once that day is spent, you can't go back and relive that day. And so rather than count years, let's count days and be aware that life is short. And so God has given me, I want to do the will of God today. I don't have a promise of tomorrow, but God can help me and I can do what God has for me to do today. It's the reality of life. And so God reminds us of this. And so do the will of God today. I want you to assess your life. Are you doing the will of God today? My friend, it is God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He has sent his own son. Jesus died and rose again, so nobody had to go to hell. And if you are on a path that is without Jesus Christ, that will lead you to eternity without him, into a place of eternal punishment, my friend, that is not God's will for your life. God wants to save you once and for all. And my friend, if you have not yet been saved, there's no better day than today to come to Christ and be saved. That's the will of God for you. And once you're saved, God tells us in his word about different things that are his will, because God's will word always reveals his will. But whatever it is that God is doing in your life, and whatever God has spoken about to you in your life, do the will of God. So we're told in this passage of Scripture about a foolish approach to life, and then a factual assessment of life. And then in this portion of Scripture, God tells us something else, because you ask the question, well, how then should we live? Or I guess it's been put this way, how should we then live? And God gives us an answer then to how we should live in verse 15. And he tells us about a faithful approach to life. Look at verse 15 in your Bible. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. This is the secret to a faithful life. Your attitude toward God's will, if the Lord will. You see, every aspect of my life and your life should be surrendered to God's will. The Lordship of Jesus Christ touches every area of your life. So for these believers, whenever God addresses the subject of how you approach your life, he begins by the five areas that these individuals had set in their lives. They had set my schedule, my plans, my boundaries, my activities, my expectations. And in addressing them, he says, listen, all of those things are fine if the Lord will, so that every part of your life, everything needs to be surrendered to the will of the Lord. And so what happens then if you say, well, I have my schedule. Okay, what if God's will interrupts my schedule? Or I have all my plans and I've set the boundaries in my life. What if God's will interrupts your boundaries? What if God's will interrupts your plans? Well, I have my expectations. Well, wait a minute. What would happen if rearranging life in your life because of the brevity of life changes your expectations? How do you respond whenever God begins to rearrange and change your life and uncertainty takes place, and now all of a sudden the plans that I had and the boundary, all these things begin to change? The fatal flaw in these believers' thinking, do you know what it was? What was the fatal flaw in their thinking? Their fatal flaw was that God's will relates to some areas of my life and not others. When in reality, a faithful approach to life is that every aspect of my life is to be surrendered to God's will. Now, you have been asking the Lord, Lord, would you help me to assess my approach to life? And I want you to take a minute and I want you to think about your attitude toward God's will. Do you really view God's will as good and perfect? Really? Because, see, whenever you view God's will as good and perfect, you embrace God's will. And when you choose not to embrace God's will and justify, every one of us are good at justifying anything we want to justify. But whenever we justify anything and we say, I'm not sure about that, whenever God's will has been clearly revealed in His Word, then you really know what your real attitude toward God's will is. So stop and ask yourself about your attitude toward God's will. Well, in this passage of Scripture, then, God helps us to assess our approach to life, and He tells us about the foolishness or a foolish approach to life. And He tells us about a factual assessment of life. And then He tells us about a faithful approach to life. And then He finishes out this portion of Scripture by addressing a fair assessment of life. And in verses 16 and 17, God talks to us tells us about the signs of a foolish outlook on life. In fact, verse 16 gives us one of the signs, and verse 17 one gives us one of the signs. Verse 16, here's the first sign. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Here's the first sign of a foolish outlook on life. It is arrogance. I have my life all set. I know better than anybody else. I've got everything figured out. I'm so wise in my own eyes. And with all of it, here are people that were just this way and they missed the will of God because of their arrogance. They had everything so together. Look at their life. Everything so together. But in reality, they were missing the will of God. And in your life, in my life, you better be careful whenever you become arrogant. Oh, when you become arrogant, you're missing something. This God is a God that gives grace to the humble. Then there's another sign of people who are foolish in their outlook in life. And you'll find it in verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doth it not, to him it is sin. I'll label it this way. I'll identify it as abandonment. For someone that they know what the right thing is, but they don't do what they know to be right. And they walk away and they know that God has revealed His will. And they know what is pleasing to the Lord and what is right. And rather than embrace it, they just walk away. Abandonment. Now, I'm so glad to tell you that in the description of these signs of a foolish outlook in life, there is a solution for a wise outlook on life. And that's what God wants you to know today. He wants you to know that you can become wise and you can live life wisely. And so God gives His solution. In verse 16, we're told of the sign of arrogance, but in this verse, there's also the solution, because here's what God tells us. Reassess your attitude. Reassess your attitude. Do you find yourself to be arrogant? Boastful? Condescending? Find yourself wise in your own eyes? Do you find yourself always correcting everybody and everything because you always know better than everybody else? Well, you need to maybe stop and reassess your attitude. And here we are at the beginning of 2018. I can't think of a better time to stop and take a look at my attitude and my spirit, and for you to stop and take a look at your attitude and your spirit and ask God, would you show me if I have some attitude adjustments that need to be made in my life this year? But then there's another solution. First is reassess your attitude. The other solution for a wise outlook on life is based on verse 17, and here's what it is. Readjust your actions. You say, boy, I know things need to change. Where do I begin? After assessing your attitude, here's where you begin. You begin by doing what I know I ought to do from the Word. If there are things that I know I ought to do, and God's Word is showing me what I ought to do, I just need to do what I ought to do. And if there are things in your life that God says, no, this is what you ought not to do, then don't do them. And in fact, what this does is it takes so many things that are complex. And you begin in life, we get things are complex. And there are all kinds of factors that go into everything in life. But wait a minute, this boils it all down and it makes it very simple. As I look at my life, if there's something that I know God wants me to do, and I'm not doing it, I just need to do it. It's where I start. And if I know there's something that God doesn't want me to do, but I'm doing it, then I need to stop. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, verse 17 says, and doth it not, to him it is what, congregation? A bad idea. Not the best choice. Now, it may be true it's a bad idea and it's not the best choice. In fact, I can tell you it is. But in your relationship with God, how does God view something when you know what is right to do and you do not do it, or when you know what is wrong or what you ought not to do and you do it? God views it as sin. And so God is bringing you to a place as you begin this new year and you're assessing yourself and you're asking God to assess your life, to realize that some things in your life that need to change, this isn't just, it's more than just a strong suggestion. This is a matter of sin that is hindering your fellowship with God and His power in your life. And God is merciful because God is identifying it so that now things can begin to change as you go into 2018. So I asked you to ask God to help you to take an honest assessment of your approach to life. Have you done so? How has God the Spirit addressed your life and what needs to change? Now let me tell you about what makes a powerful sermon. You know what makes a powerful sermon? What makes a powerful sermon is the funny story. Now that's a powerful sermon. I've got a better one. How about if you use a PowerPoint? That gives you power in your sermon, right? Well, not necessarily. Oh, I know. What makes a powerful sermon is when there's a whole lot of screaming and spouting off. And I'm not opposed to any of those things. I'm for them in their place. But let me tell you about the power of a sermon. The power of a sermon is when God's word has been faithfully delivered, and then people take the truth of God's word and they begin acting on it that very day. And the power of a sermon is carried out on the next day, on Monday, January the 8th. Is that right? Yeah. Thank you. You calendar watchers, help me. I lost my way in my calendar. On Monday, January the 8th, and the power of a sermon is when you carry that with you and you're still assessing your life about your attitude toward the will of God or things that are important to God that you're scheduling out of your life or things that aren't important to God but they've become a priority in your life. It happens on Wednesday and it happens on Friday, and it happens on the 28th of January, when now you're still considering the things that God has been working in your life and you're changing, and it takes place throughout a year. And then when you come to the 31st of this year, if Jesus tarries, and you go look back on the year and you look back on the 7th of January, and there was one area that God the Spirit addressed in your life and you've been aware of it throughout the year, And usually God does this. He brings this same area back again. And because he's so faithful and loves you enough that he'll keep bringing this up. He'll reiterate it again and again. And you'll look back on the year and you say, boy, I haven't made all the progress, but I'm so glad how God has progressed me throughout the year. And I'm more the young person that God wants me to be than I was when I began the year because of what God began to show me. And then as my life changed over the year. See, that's the power of a sermon. The power of the sermon is when you take it and you embrace it and you live it, and God changes your life. Anything wrong with an illustration that grips you? No. Handling the word accurately? Absolutely. Passion? Absolutely. Enthusiasm, energy? Absolutely. But truly the power of the sermon is when people are transformed by obedience to the word. And so now here we are at the beginning of a year. It's time to assess our lives. Would you stand with me, please? The Lordship of Jesus Christ touches every area of a person's life. And so for you, I wonder, as you've asked the Lord to assess your life and to open your understanding, I'm wondering, let's just talk about your attitude to the will of God. And your attitude toward others and your own attitude about yourself. I wonder if God is dealing with just some things in your spirit that need to be repented of and changed. I wonder what needs to be readjusted. Hey, your plans, your expectations, all those things that you're looking at in life, and I'm wondering if you just need to say, okay, Lord, I need to readjust some things, and with what all that means, I don't know, but I do know that there are some things that I need to start doing because I know they're right. And there are some things that I know are not pleasing to you, and it needs to stop. And that's your starting point. God will give you the power. God will give you the help. And I do also, and I don't want to miss this, for friends that are with us that have not yet received Jesus Christ, been saved by His grace alone, trusting in what He alone has done for you. If you've never received Jesus Christ and been saved, don't let anything hold you back. This is God's will for your life. Embrace Him! And be saved today. So, Lord our God, as we are in this quiet place, You are assessing. We are attuned to what You are doing. Now, Lord, we pray that as the next step is taken, that indeed the truth of Your word would powerfully impact in a practical and life-transforming way. We thank You, oh God, that Your will is good. That Your will is acceptable and perfect. We thank You that You are a God who is true and loves us enough to tell us the truth. And so in faith, we receive the truth and claim Your power to go from here. And so we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The instruments are playing. Your heads are bowed. We want to give you a chance to respond. The truth has been proclaimed. We've sung about it. You've heard it from the scriptures, and God has been dealing with your heart. And this is the time for you to really make a reassessment. You say, I'd like to talk with somebody about it. Then there's an altar here for you and people to meet with you. You say, I'd like to just have someone pray with me about some things. That's great. You say, I'd like just to have some time with God and I where I have to really address some things in my life and I want God to help me. And this is a time for you. You say, I'd like to talk to someone about my soul and I want to know that I'm eternally saved once and for all. Then there's someone here, and we'll direct people that'll be a help to you and share this with you.